Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Acts reading. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word to us, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may understand that when we were baptized, our sins were washed away, so that we can call on you in our need, knowing that you are at hand to help. And we pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Have you ever heard somebody else's faith journey and thought, I wish I'd experienced the things that they've experienced? They've experienced God in a way that's direct and powerful, while my experiences of God seem mundane and unimpressive. They seem to be full of confidence in God, while I am full of doubts and weaknesses. If you've ever felt this way, then I have good news to proclaim to you from God's word today. While everyone does have their own path of faith, and while different people do have different experiences of God, the risen Lord Jesus Christ has given us the one common gift of holy baptism, so that we don't need to envy the spiritual life of others or be disappointed with the gifts that God has given us. Rather, we are free to trust without doubt that through baptism into Christ, our sins are forgiven, that we can call on the name of the Lord, knowing that he will hear us and help us, even in our doubts and weaknesses. Now let's get into today's reading from Acts. Here's how it starts. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Okay, let's pause there. Meanwhile, the text says, what's been going on? Well, the last time we heard about Saul in Acts was also the first time. And by the way, Saul and Paul are the same person. One way to think about it is, Saul is his Hebrew name, Paul his Roman name. We're talking about the same person here. The last time we heard about Saul was the first time that he comes up in the narrative. Stephen, who had confessed that he saw Jesus at the right hand of God, becomes the first martyr of the church as he's stoned to death. And this is what we read back there. Saul approved of their killing Stephen. That day a severe persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church by entering house after house, dragging off both men and women. He committed them to prison. So Saul, outraged by the apparent blasphemy of the early Christians, is on the rampage. Then in Acts we hear about Philip taking the good news of Jesus Christ to people in Samaria and proclaiming the good news to the Ethiopian eunuch and giving him the gift of holy baptism. In other words, persecution's acting as a kind of pressure that sends people out of Jerusalem towards the ends of the earth. And then we get to today's reading. Let's go back to it. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. It's Saul who has the idea to go to Damascus, a place well up into the northeast. So it's not only the persecuted, but also the persecutors who are now being driven out. But St. Paul does not act here on his own authority. He gets letters from the high priest, giving him religious and political authority to arrest men and women, to bind them, and to bring them back to Jerusalem. But it is as Saul is on this journey that God intervenes. Now, as Saul was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." Here we have a dramatic and even threatening encounter with God, with the risen Christ. Saul falls to the ground and hears a voice calling him by name. But did you notice anything unusual about the way that Saul is called? The Lord calls his name twice. Now, we could easily overlook this detail, but as we have the Old Testament echoing in our ears, and especially those narratives where God calls people to a new path of action, then things become more interesting. So think about in the Old Testament, when Abraham is about to sacrifice his son Isaac. Do you remember that? Here's what we read there. "But the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.'" Or think about this one. This is when Jacob is about to go into Egypt. This is from Genesis 46. God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here I am." Or now in the book of Exodus, think about Moses as he encounters God in the desert in the burning bush. When the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses," and he said, "Here I am." Or one last example for today. This is from 1 Samuel. The boy Samuel is in the temple. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am." So notice this pattern, the double use of the name. A dramatic encounter with God as something is about to change for the person whom God addresses. And in each of the cases, in the Old Testament at least, the person responds, "Here I am." They are ready to serve. And now we have the calling of Saul with a duplication of the name. But St. Paul does not say, "Here I am," but, "Who are you, Lord?" It's then that we hear the words that must have hit Saul like a bombshell. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." The name of the Lord is Jesus. And the risen Lord tells Saul that in persecuting Christian people, Saul is not only harming them, he is persecuting Jesus. He is persecuting the Lord. Now think, dear Christian people, how closely your Lord associates himself with you, especially as you suffer for bearing his name. And consider how the Lord chose Saul, a persecutor of the church, to be his apostle. Now why the Lord chose Saul, the persecutor, to be an apostle is a mystery. The reason is in God's counsel. But what Jesus chose Saul for is clear: to suffer for the Lord's name, to proclaim the gospel to the nations. This can help us, by the way, understand our own path of faith. We may not know why the Lord has chosen us for the life of faith. It certainly wasn't because we're better than our family members or neighbours or co-workers. It'd be ludicrous for us to think God must have chosen me because I'm somehow special than other people. Why God has chosen us is a mystery in Christ Jesus. But that God has chosen us for tasks is clear as we consider the callings that God has given us, as you think about the place where God has put us in our lives, and as we reflect on our callings and the place that God has put us, underneath the Word of God, living out in fidelity to God's Word. Now, what's surprising in today's reading is that we have this dramatic encounter with the risen Lord and Saul, but the risen Lord gives Saul a very simple task, seemingly very unspiritual. He, the Lord, not the high priest or Saul himself, the Lord sends Saul to Damascus. And the risen Christ, the Lord, sends a person, Ananias, to meet Saul. So Saul's just told to go to a place, and there he meets a person. And this is what we hear as the chapter unfolds. So Ananias, the fellow sent also by the Lord to see Saul, went and entered the house where Saul was. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul." Now, Ananias had been fearful of Saul, knowing that he was a persecutor of the church, but in obedience to the Lord's command, he goes to see Saul and addresses him not as an enemy or as a persecutor, but as a brother. "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on your way here has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul's regaining of his sight, Saul's receiving the Holy Spirit, these are given by the Lord Jesus Christ, not in the direct encounter on the way to Damascus, but through the church, through a fearful but obedient man, Ananias. And more than this, in a detail that's easy to miss, Saul is baptized. The risen Lord Jesus, who appeared to Saul in a dramatic and even threatening way, sends Saul to receive that gift that the Lord established in his resurrection. That's the common gift to all Christian people, the gift of baptism. Now, the account of the conversion of Saul is given three times in the book of Acts. Today's reading is the first time, and it's from the point of view of the narrator, St. Luke. The second time, we get St. Paul giving his conversion story to his fellow Jews. That's in chapter 22. And in chapter 26, we have Saul, St. Paul, giving his conversion story to the secular authorities. But at the climax of the second account, the most central part of the three tellings, we hear these words. "Ananias said, 'Brother Saul, regain your sight.' In that very hour," Saul says, St. Paul says, "I regained my sight and saw him. Then Ananias said, 'The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear his own voice. And you will be his witness to all the world of what you've seen and heard. And now, why do you delay?'" And you might think he's going to say here, "Go out and tell people what you've seen. Talk about the dramatic experience of God that you've had, because that's the content of your message." No, this is what Ananias says, this great crescendo of the second telling of the conversion narrative. "Get up, be baptized, have your sins washed away, calling on his name." The second and central retelling has as its crescendo Saul being told by the one the Lord Jesus had sent him to meet, by the one the Lord had sent to see Saul. It has Saul being told to get up and be baptized, to have his sins washed away, and to call on the name of the Lord. That's how it was for Saul, the great apostle, whom God used to proclaim the good news to all nations. He was sent to receive the same gift that we have received, the gift of holy baptism, in which our sins have been washed away and we have been freed to call on the name of the Lord. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, each one of you have been called by the risen Lord Jesus. You have been baptized into him. Your sins have been washed away. You have a Lord who is near to help you in doubt, to help you in weakness as you call to him. We don't need to envy the experiences of others or to think that we're missing out if our path of faith seems less dramatic or impressive than that of others. Instead, we are free to thank God, each one of us, for making us as we are and for giving us, each one of us, the gifts that we've received and the callings in life that we have. Simple callings, perhaps, that may not seem impressive from a worldly point of view or from the spiritual expectations of fallen humanity, but callings which are seen by the Father, who sees what we do in secret. And as our Lord says, the Father, who sees in secret, rewards our acts of faith. So let's live the faith that we've together received through our baptism into Christ, a baptism that we share with St. Paul and with all the people of God. Let's live that faith to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.